Welcome to VFN Radio. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining us this morning to encourage you is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Also joining us this morning to encourage you on VFN Radio is John Ramos.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I want to encourage you this morning that though it may seem for a time and a season that in the natural sense things might not work out, our God says it ain't over till it's over.
Amen.
This is when he does his best work. God bless you. I want to give a shout out this morning and a happy birthday to Joanne. Good morning, Joanne, and happy birthday. Morning, 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 morning. You are listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios to encourage you today is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
And the one, the only, John Ramos.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Here we are today. It is, what, Wednesday morning. Wednesday morning, and we are here again for a great opportunity. Look at your smile at me. I love that. You know, to encourage all of our listeners and remind you, you know, I just had a wonderful lunch yesterday, you know, with Mark Downey, and just such an encourager and just a steadfast, you know, God has blessed his business, and he stood with us for many years, he and his wife Erin, and just to hear his hope for America and his willingness to do, you know, whatever it takes for our country.
Yes.
Right.
And it's just encouraging to hear, you know, godly men like that and men of integrity and businessmen who love God and love our country. And we just thank God for Mark Downey and other businessmen that are out That's here right. like that, that are saying, you know, mm-hmm. let's just do it. Mm-hmm. You know, let's just do it. Let's put Joshua on the phone. Let's put him on the phone and everybody else put the phone down. You know, we don't need to hear from anybody but Joshua and Caleb, because if God said we can take
right.
the land.
That's right.
We can take the land.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? If George Washington did everything he did against all odds with a ragtag army, with barefoot ragtag army, mm-hmm. with a Congress that was so divided, with a currency was like 13 different currencies for 13 different little colonies in the colony, and a Congress that would refuse to even pay the soldiers for the work, you know, with an enlistment that was over months ago, and he convinced them to be able to fight for a cause that we're living in today. You know, he did this chop down the cherry tree stuff. It's like, where did that come
yeah,
from?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? This is an awesome dude. Horses were shot out from under him.
Wow.
He fought wars with Benedict Arnold, but Benedict Arnold couldn't decide which side he was on, and he eventually decided he was going to be on Great Britain's side.
That's right.
You know, and I just want to encourage you today. You know, Joshua, you know, pick up the phone, Joshua. Caleb, pick up the phone. You know, and nothing, and if you're not a Joshua or Caleb, just listen. Listen. Listen to his talk, because we believe that God can give us the land. That God can give us the land. There's something about believing God's report, that knowing that God is with you and Christ in you is the hope of glory. I mean, think about it, John. I mean, you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And now talk about it. Oh my goodness.
Well, you know, think about it. George Washington, man, he was an awesome guy. You know, I love to look back and think back, and we did a great segment on him not too long ago on the radio program, but where all the adversities and all the things that he had to overcome just so that he can put this army together that was going to fight the greatest superpower at that time.
Right.
And you know he had some times of testing and trials, and at one time he's even contemplating, did I even do the right thing? I'm a rich plantation owner. But he had to remember what his purpose was. He had to remember for such a time as this. And there's nothing like great encouragement when you're facing, you know, huge task and an uphill battle.
Well, you think of, you know, that, you know, I want to encourage you this morning that, you know, there's been, you know, some things spoken and taught that are not biblically correct. The reality is you got to do what you got to do what God's called you to do.
That's
this
right.
The mindset of saying everything's just going to be peachy king and that, you know, there's great resource when you follow God and the Pharisees don't, that you don't lose your head and you don't get crucified and all these different things that people say. You know, the truth is that, you know, even David in the lineage of Jesus, mm-hmm. you know, here he is trying to survive Saul. You know, he had to try to, he had to survive Saul to, even to the point that he had to go live with the enemy. He had to go away from the very people he loved, the people that he killed giants to protect them because of the jealousy involved in the heart of Saul, who was God's leader, was chosen by God, which he, God regretted the day that he ever made him because he wouldn't abide with God,
right?
Made him king. And so, you know, David's at some point, David had to, when they were coming in, fixing to kill David as he's running for his life from his brothers and his sisters, you know, he started scratching on the gate of a city and started foaming at the mouth, acting like he's crazy. And somebody says, I don't know if this is God. If I got to go through, if I got to go through all of this,
right?
If I, it can't be God if I got to go through something.
That's
you know,
right.
And it's just like, come on, let's just do this thing. You know what I'm saying?
Well, think about the pilgrims. Look at all the stuff that they went through. Mm-hmm. All the adversity just to believe, just to walk out what was their destiny in God. And, you, and there's something that says, you know, in the American mindset that if there's a struggle, if this is challenging, if this is hard, then it must not be God.
For this generation, and, it definitely, you're right. That's exactly right.
And you know, many things in life come with a struggle. Many things, all the good things in life actually do. And it's once we come to the other side, we remember the price that was paid for. We appreciate it. But I think of the pilgrims, and I get so encouraged. We're planning a trip actually this weekend to see the monument to the forefathers, and to see and to experience all that those pilgrims went through. Just to know that they went through great persecution, met in underground areas just by candlelight, just so that they can read the Bible, because it was illegal. They were risking their lives, you know?
Right.
The fact that they got into a boat and were willing to leave their families behind just so they could catch up with them a year later.
Right.
And you think, wow. I think there was like three or four major occurrences that happened on this journey when they were coming to America that could have stopped anybody. The last one was when they were getting ready to come over. One of the ships sprung a leak. And so all the people they were wanting to come over at that point, this is like the last hurrah here. It's like, what are we going to do? And they made a decision that half of them were going to stay and the other half were going to go. But that could have caused anyone to say, you know what? Maybe this is not it. Maybe we shouldn't go. How many signs do we need? How many signs should we stop? This is a clue. And it was no. We're going to persevere, and we're going to do what God told us to do. And because they did, today we have an awesome, amazing, free country where we can worship God freely.
And I want to encourage you, you're right, I'll encourage you, you know, this morning that, you know, keep your job. Do what you have to do to keep your job. Don't just like, oh, well, it got a little rough, and they humbled me at the office, or they... You know, be grateful for your job. Realize a word that God had given me some time back ago. I think I talked about it yesterday, maybe. I don't know.
Right.
But about that there will be a day that a CEO works at a Walmart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he'll be grateful that he's working there. Not that Walmart, working at Walmart is bad, but the very fact, but a CEO is making six figures.
Mm-hmm.
And realize that if you fight to keep that job, don't compromise your God. You know, don't do that, but understand, you know, fight for something. You know, fight
right.
for your marriage, fight for your family, fight for the kingdom of God. You know, not physically fight, just, you know, fall to your knees, cry out to God, live a life that's worth imitating, that somebody can look at. If they looked at you, you could be a map on how to walk with God. You know what I'm saying? And not some chaotic, you know, spinning top that people can't grab a hold of. You know, just... It's time. And it's time for us to rise up for this particular generation. I want to encourage you, you know, fight for what's right. You know, fight for what's right. And realize that we're, you know, don't be disempowered by the fact that we were wrong and then we got right with God. Therefore, because we were wrong, we can't talk about right. You have to understand that we're, the only good in us is God, and it's okay to say God is right. It's okay to say this, but it causes you to present it when you understand the reality of that. It causes you to be much more humble and just say, you know, I'm not lifting myself up as a standard here. I'm just saying that our only hope is God, and Jesus is our standard.
Right.
This nation's been blessed. And I want to encourage you. I just feel like this morning, you know, you need to hear, do what you got to do to do what God's called you to do. You know, so you're not, if you had to scratch at a gate and foam at a mouth to obey God, to eventually one day you're going to be king and look overseer of God's people. If you would have thought, well, this can't be God because I had to go out like a fool for a season to be able to survive it. I had to go live amongst the people who weren't living for God. That can't be used for that, or all these different things. You can say, you know what? That was a journey of a king that God was preparing. That was a journey of a king that God was preparing for to lead his people.
Right.
And when
he
got through that process and he got there, he says, I know why you've called me to be here. I know why I'm here is to protect your people. And it's things about these journeys that let us know, oh, I understand. I understand what God's wanting his people taken care of. And what the journey was with David was, God wanted to prepare a man that would look over his people and fight for them and protect them and keep them. And of all of that, he said, when he got there, he says, I know why you got me here, was to take care of your people. Now, Saul was trying to take care of himself. And David is taking care of God's people. And that's what we have today. Today, we have a lot of leaders who are just thinking about themselves. You know, why the whole earth is quaking. I meant why the Lord is shouting to us what's going on. Nobody can say he didn't tell us what's happening.
Right.
You know, why the church is just confused. They don't know what's right. The church has been taught things that doesn't, they don't even know what's right. You know, I was speaking recently to somebody that they were saying that the church, they're not being taught.
Right.
I mean, things are being taught, but they're not being taught.
Right.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Not being taught, you know, the truths of God. And so when they're looking at things that seem simple, they're only simple to somebody who actually understood them and was taught them, you know. And so it's important that we've got to begin to rise up, you know, and let's just challenge the leaders that are listening today. You know, don't sell out to Jezebel. You know, don't sell out to Ahab and all of his fluster. You know, don't sell out. You know, do what you got to do to preach the truth. Realize that led astray is led astray. You know, astray is okay. Somebody leads someone astray. That's one thing. But if they led that person astray, both of you are astray. The one that led you astray and you're astray. So you're both led astray. So, you know, you're responsible for you. You are responsible for you. You have to answer for yourself. No witnesses, no suspects at the throne of God.
Right.
You can't bring in before you and point at somebody that led you astray. You've got to hear the truth. You got to respond. You're accountable before God, all by yourself. It was an organizational chart. If you thought about it, you know, God is, and he is, over all of us. And he put us under Jesus Christ. And imagine all of us report directly to Jesus Christ. We're all accountable directly to him. There's nobody between
you. No blame game.
There's no blame game. You know, there's no, but look at my excuse. You know, there's no, you know, saying, hey, it was my priest that led me astray. It was my pastor that led me astray. It was my Sunday school teacher. It was my wife. It was my husband. And if you read the Word of God all the way from the time of the garden all the way through God's you know, journey that he tells us about in the Bible, quite often people start blaming the ones that led them astray, but they end up following the ones they were called to lead. That's when we make mistakes. When God's called us to lead, he didn't, you know, give, it's not the great suggestion, you know, I mean, you got called to lead, you have to lead. And if all of a sudden you get fearful, you know, and all the one that you're supposed to lead begins to offer you suggestions. And believe me, the second heaven will work hard, which is Ephesians 6:12. When we talk about second heaven, you know, they will do everything they can to try to stir that up and change that order. And by doing that, the second you're following that, which you're called to lead, the end of that's not going to be good because they don't have an anointing. They don't know where they're going.
That's
right. They're just following their flesh, and the enemy's messing with their flesh. And right. so you're, it's like I always said this, if I'm going to follow anybody's flesh, I'm going to follow my own flesh. Right. You know Absolutely. What I'm saying? You know, if I'm going to follow flesh, I'm not going to follow your flesh.
That's right.
And if I'm going to follow it, I'm going to follow my own, but I'm going to choose not to follow my own. But I'll let you know up front, if I'm going to follow any flesh, it's not going to be your flesh. This will be my flesh, you know, but let's just don't follow. Let's follow God. And That's it's amazing right. how many people say, well, and there's a lot of people who love God who don't understand this, and they're not following their flesh, but they're following other people's flesh. And it's like, it's the same devil, you know. You That's can't right. follow someone else's flesh, deny your own, and think you're not going to end up in the same place that their flesh takes them. You're following the adversary when you follow the carnal sin nature. And you can't follow, and of course, they'll kick and scream and all that kind of stuff and threaten. But it's like, you know, I can't follow you to hell. Sorry, you know, I'm not going to leave God. And so I just want to encourage you this morning. Do what you got to do what God's called you to do. And if you move outside of all the false doctrines that you're hearing today and all the pretty stuff, and the kingdom of God is not a pretty thing. I mean, it's something that forceful men have to forcefully advance if it's going to do anything.
And be willing to stand alone. I mean, you're not always going to be popular when you're following God. You have to choose. You're going to be, you know, popular or powerful, but you can't be both, right? And you have right. to be willing to stand for the truth.
Right, right, exactly. But it's okay. I mean, when you realize you're doing it for an audience of one, because you're going to stand alone. I mean, think about it. If you know this now, how much more awesome is that going to be for you? Because you begin to live your life for your eternal reality. You begin to live in eternity today, realizing that I want to live my life in a way that is real, which is what I don't see, is where I'm going to be with God forever. Jesus is preparing a place for me. And so I'm going to live for him because I'm going to have to answer to him.
Right.
You know,
that's right.
We're going to answer to him alone. So I think, you know, you're going to be, especially in the season ahead, you're going to, you know, your flesh is not going to be happy, you know, but your spirit man is going to be excited. And if you understand that, then you'll do what you got to do what God's called you to do. How many children appreciate parents who are willing to push through rough times to be able to parent them versus the other parents who weren't willing to do what you had to do to do what God's called them to do, and they just abandon their children?
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Because it's a whole lot easier to abandon them than to do what's right.
Yeah, up until the time of the throne room.
There's a reward at the end of it. There's a reward.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and it's like that's how God feels about us. You know, when we stay steadfast in what God's called us to do, and you'd be surprised you're going to have to go through some stuff. I think it was Charles Simpson talks about it, that God will call you to do what he wants you to do. Then he'll take you through a struggle that makes you want to let go of what he's called you to do, because at the beginning you're like, oh, this is great. I want to do this.
Right.
And then you have to wrestle with God, and then you have to go through this time of wrestling with him and understanding this tournament. And then, in understanding that when you got to still want it, you got to still be holding on to it.
Right.
And most people, it's like a stick fight. I don't know if you've ever seen in the military, they had stick fighting where you had to, you know, you had a stick, a little short stick, and, you know, anyway, there's a stick fight. So you hold on to this little short stick, and the other guy holds on the stick, and then they just say, go.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then whoever ends up with the stick in their hand, you know, you win.
Mm-hmm.
It's called stick fighting. And that's the way it is with God. You got to hold on. It's going to be a fight. Because the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you're complete and mature and not lacking anything. And it's just most people, it's just like the gospel that's been preached, nobody fights for anything. And it's like, you know, I appreciate people who fight for me. I appreciate people who care about me. Yeah, I appreciate people who fight for my family and fight for the church and fight for God. I appreciate that. They're precious people.
Yeah,
and there's many people who just said, "I got a stick fight. I'm gonna have to stick fight. I'm gonna have to hold." They're like, "Oh, that's not. I'm not gonna do that. You just keep the stick," and they just give it over to Satan. Immediately give it over because they're not willing to go through something for him. Listen, fight for what's right. It's time to fight, not physically fight, not fight like a physical warrior, but fight the good fight of faith, which means living a life in the light, living a life repented, living a life. This is how you know when you're repented, when you can speak boldly. When you can speak boldly, you know, you have taken things to the cross and you are standing up rightly before the Lord and you can fight. But mm-hmm. until you're going to seem wimpish until you deal with the sin. When you deal with the sin and then bring the transparency out, you know, and let people know the only good in you is God, you know, but that's good. Then mm-hmm. you can fight. Right. You can fight. So fight the good fight of faith. Do what you got to do what God's called you to do. We'll be right back. I'm so excited to have Steve Kalaszewski with us on the VFM radio today. Glad to have you here.
I'm glad to be here.
And there's people out there right now that I know you're brilliant now. I mean, because you're so educated. I mean, you just graduated from University of West Florida. You've graduated from the Vine Fellowship Network University. I mean, you're about to go plant a church. You've already did church work in Florida, but you're going to go to Pittsburgh. I mean, you're just, you know, walking on water now. But imagine if you would.
God. Thank you, Jesus.
There's somebody out there listening right now via VFN radio that they slightly felt like, you know, I had a call, but immediately they looked at themselves and they looked at their work that's even come to pass. And, you know, they started doubting themselves. Talk to that person right now about how VFNU could help them out.
Wow. If you really feel that God's just really speaking to you or just speaking in your heart, VFNU is the resource that you need, because I totally relate to you, because when God found me, I had gone through the laundry list of everything that the world offered. And I knew that as soon as the message of Jesus Christ was shared to me, I knew that's exactly what I wanted. And God just began to just take me on a journey of just revealing himself to me. And it, no matter what he revealed himself, no matter what he revealed to me, it just made me more hungry. It just gave me a greater desire. And when God began to speak to me about VFNU, I was like, I have no idea what that is, but I know I want it. And if it has anything to do with God, sign me up. And in that, it was just like, each day was overwhelming, because it was like, oh my goodness. I'm like, wow, like this is, but it was overwhelming in a good way. And it's just so God. Right. God gives you the tools. He gives you just so many revelations, just so many levels of his word that are just, he's just so good. And VFNU is just, I mean, I still have all my notes, everything. I look back on it. And even in that, it's encouraging when I look back on it. And it's like, I remember, I think I was talking about with you right after I graduated. And it was like looking back over an old photo album of all the revelations. It's just like, oh, I remember this one. I remember this one. Oh yeah. I remember when God spoke to me in my abiding time about this, and it was just,
isn't it amazing? So you can gather all the information that you want to, but there's nothing like the revelation. It's so empowering, and that's what VFNU is about.
Yeah.
You know, it was revealed from God.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, you know, you might be thinking like, I got to go take my English class. I got to take my algebra class. It's just the revelation of God, and it's anointed, you know? And so you walk into it probably thinking, you know, well, I got to get this information so I can, you know, get to the point where I could minister, maybe shepherd God's people or whatever. And you walk in, the first thing you go is like, whoa, right? Right.
Yeah.
And then you finish that well, right? And then you go to the next thing, you go like, whoa! You know, it's just he's exactly. So awesome, isn't he?
No matter how much God you have, there's more.
There really is. And if you want to find out more, you want possibly interested in feeling a call on your life, you want to know more about possibly getting into leadership, and maybe you want to feel like you're called to be a pastor and you want to be trained, just come out to go to VFNU.org. That's VFNU.org, and you can find out more.
If you've ever looked at the church and have thought to yourself, these people are just way too perfect for me to come around them, then you know what? You and I are a lot alike. That was my story. I thought everyone in the church was just perfect, and I was the only one with issues. But guess what? Everyone that comes to Jesus has a background. We don't come to Jesus because we're perfect. We come to Jesus because we need a Savior. And you know, I was at that place. I was at that place where things weren't going right in my life. I was away from God. I was in sin. I was chasing after the world, trying to find an identity, trying to find myself. And the more I kept looking for myself, the more I went deeper and deeper into sin. But then I had an encounter. I had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that happened, everything changed. Yeah, my life wasn't perfect, but I met the one who is perfect. And with that, I'm absolutely okay. I want to encourage you to read my story. You can read other stories of people that were not perfect, but people who met the perfect one. Mm-hmm. You can go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios to encourage you today is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. Hey, John.
Good morning.
Good morning. Isn't that good, though, when you think about what David did to be able to do what he had to do? I mean, think about it, you know, and I'm looking forward to you talking to us about, you know, Mother Teresa and and sharing, you know, what God has in your heart about that, is that, you know, even to the point when he had to make a, you know, as a kid, you'd play around and put under your covers, you'd make put pillows underneath your sheets and blankets to make it look like you were laying in bed, and you put like a basketball where your head's supposed to be, and then John would climb out the window. You know, David had to do that. David had, he got word that the local religious leader was coming his way, and his wife, which happened to be the daughter of the one that was coming after him, Saul, you know, he said, man, they're going to kill you, dude. They're going to kill you. And he's like, you mean then when he was throwing spears at me, that was serious? I thought that was indigestion, you know. He's like, Jonathan, he's throwing spears. Well, I don't know. I know my dad. He wouldn't try to kill you or anything. Let's just wait until again. Yeah, because he comes back and goes, I was wrong. He's trying to kill you. And so here he is. David had, he's making up, you know, his wife and him are making up in his bed to make it look like, I mean, this is King David. He's not putting a basketball, obviously, up under, making it like his head. But they put some stuff under the covers to make it look like David was in bed.
Right.
And he jumped out the window and ran for his life.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a God plan. It sounds like Paul being lowered out of a basket.
Yeah.
He's like, this couldn't be God. Why? You're making fake people under the covers and climbing out windows. Right?
Yeah.
But sure, think about it. I see your brain just like a boom. Oh, my goodness. I need to make a fake man under the covers tonight. I mean, that's what David did. I mean, David did that. And then he ended up in this cave with no air conditioner in it. You know, yeah, and he's just trying to, he's running.
That'd be brutal for some.
That would be real brutal for Americans. And so he gets there, and he's just running for his life. I mean, he's just running for his life. And next thing you know, 300 broke, busted, disgusted, left-handed, government-hating individuals show up and say, can we live in your cave? I don't remember how many hundred it was. And then, how many was it?
It was 200.
200. And he's like, three? Was it three? Oh, wow. Anyway, so then he, Pat's conflicting here. We're waiting for his...
I thought it was 200.
It's okay. It's okay.
I've been wrong before.
Pause and think.
Once.
Okay.
Once.
Selah. And so with that, you know, these people show up and it's like, what are you doing in my cave? They're trying to kill me right here. I got fake people under my covers. I'm running out the window and you're coming. You're going to give me away. They're going to know where I'm at.
I'm panicking by myself here. Leave me alone.
Yeah, it's hot enough in this cave without you getting all close to me and stuff. You know, and they're like, yeah, I hate the government and all this taxation and all this kind of stuff. I mean, they were government-hating, you know, people. Mm-hmm. They were just upset about everything. But you know what? All of that was God's plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of that was God's plan.
Right.
You know, that was God's plan because he was going to train up these left-handed, broke, busted, disgusted, you know, government-hated, you know, left-handed men to be mighty men of valor. They were gonna transform in this wilderness experience, and they were going to come out, and they were going to be so dedicated to David's leadership that when they got a chance to get some water, they went and it went all the way in a place of, because David loved Israel, but the enemy kept David away from the people that he loved and that he fought for. And so they went and got water from the land and brought it to David. And these mighty men of valor did and said, listen, we just want to give you this water. And David was so moved by it. He said, I can't drink this water. So he just takes this water that these, remember in the beginning, he was hiding under the covers and that all the stuff was going on. And these were broke, busted, left-handed, you know, government hating individuals. Now they're warriors for God. And they bring this cold glass of water from Jerusalem back to him. And he just pours it out before the Lord as a drink offering. Isn't that beautiful?
Precious.
That's precious. But, you know, if we don't understand that, if we're not understand that's how actually things work, I mean, don't try to imitate that, but just realize, just hold on. That's the process.
That's right.
You know, don't try to imitate that. Just realize it's happening to you right now. And
isn't it always funny how those that are spectating always have a different perspective from the ones that are actually in it? It's if you read that report and you're using that as a blueprint to follow God, you're going to miss it because it's often written from a perspective of just watching people on the front lines, you know what I'm saying? Running for the battle to get a drink of water for David in the midst of all things flying.
Right.
But if you get David's perspective and the men's perspective who are in the struggle, in the battle, different story, isn't it?
You know, it's just critics. You know, that's what, you know, so many people today are critics and they just sit back and they go, I give them a 4. And somebody says, I give them an 8. And then they average out, they take out the high score and the low score and they say, okay, he'll be our shepherd.
Wow.
Right. You know, that's how they do it. They just sit back and critique instead of realizing the Bible is written to you. Mm-hmm. You will answer to God alone for your life. And the enemies convince you that they will answer for you. Mm-hmm. And they won't answer for you. They won't. Mm-hmm. You can point all you want to, but you'll be standing there all alone, which makes you want to do what's right. It makes me think about what you're talking about. You know, years ago, Don and I went to this marriage seminar. Big, huge gathering, maybe of a couple hundred people. And somebody asked us, they said, hey, to go. We went and they had this big video, this man that was talking about marriage. And they're all watching this video, this man talking about marriage. And you're going, this is okay. All right. And maybe like an hour or two in it, maybe, you know, I don't know how far down. I asked the question. I said, has this guy ever been married before? And somebody who actually recommended this said, oh, no, he's never been married.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, dude, look at all of y'all here. What are y'all doing? He's never been married. You know, I mean, you don't know. I mean, you just don't until you've done it. You don't know. You just don't. I could not believe it. You know, I couldn't believe people were listening to somebody who's never been married before telling them how to be married. I mean, you know, I like what T.D. Jakes says, and I say it quite often, but it's true. You know, I don't trust a man who don't limp. You know, I can't listen to you if you have not been through it. You know, you're just a cheerleader for people that are going through it, but you're not that serious in the context of it because you can't take advice from, you're not the coach, you're a cheerleader, you know, because until you've gone through it and you got the limps and all. I remember years ago, you know, when John was thinking about getting married. I mean, he read all the books and remember that? You had everything figured out.
I stopped by Pat's house. He gave me all the books.
All right.
Oh, he didn't read nothing.
About read squat.
He just said, this house is going to be, and then he learned, no, it ain't. right? Remember all that?
Theories.
I mean, you had like 2 or 3 shelves full of how to be married and all that.
I remember.
Do you? once you get in the ministry, you just realize that you are in the ministry. You know,
that's right.
You don't.
Right.
Say, I'm going full time to ministry. Where the heck have you been?
Where have you been?
Exactly. Where have you been? You know, well, I've just been waiting for what? And so,
exactly.
You know,
we can go hours on that one. Perception on, I mean, just the perception of what that means. The average church are thinking, you know, job benefits or thinking all this. It's like, wait a minute, where's your service to God?
You know, and people are, what they're doing is they're looking at, you know, a few men and saying, trying to change them and what they know personally they're supposed to be instead of them being the change that they want to see. They keep on trying to say, hey, you know, my whatever needs to, I've been trying to get him or get her to do such and such, and they won't do it, and they won't do it. It's like, dude, if you know to do it, do it. That's God speaking to you. Obviously, if they're not going to do what God said, you know, they're not your fault. They're their fault. You need to get busy and do what God's called you to do.
That's
right. You
know
what I'm saying? Be the change that you want to see. But yeah, in regards to unless you've gone through it, unless you've gotten into it, and there's nothing more precious than people that are on the front lines, loving God's people, loving mm-hmm. others and leading others to do the same. They're beautiful people. They're beautiful mm-hmm. people because they are consistently staying there and being faithful, even to the those that aren't faithful. They're being faithful in the eyes of the Lord, saying, you know, that you matter to God and you matter to me. And those are just precious people. Ever how many that they're shepherding, they're just precious, precious people.
That's right.
Well, you know, I know that God laid on your heart. We want to hear, you know, about Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa is, you and her have a lot in common. You know what I'm saying? with that, tell us about Mother Teresa a little bit. Give us some forewarning about what we're going to have in the extra hour today.
Right. Well, Mother Teresa, we're getting ready to we're getting this video together. Her speech that she gave at the National Prayer Breakfast. And we're just going to play just a small piece of it. But the whole thing with her is just so amazing how she was speaking for the unborn and how she was speaking about abortion and how she was speaking to truth, to power, and how so bold. I mean, here you have the president at that time was Clinton and Gore, vice president, and she's speaking in this room. And we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about a little bit about her life, a little bit about who she was and her bold stand. It's going to be very exciting. But we're looking forward to sharing that in the extra hour.
Well, also, you know, there's a prophetic word that came out of Texas with Chuck Pierce. And Zion Ministries, I believe is the name of his ministry there. It's a very encouraging word, but let me read a little bit of it. We'll make this available on the VFN Torch. But he talks about last Sunday, the Spirit of God moved so powerfully. We rejoiced over how the Lord responded to our prayers and began to send rain across the region. Because remember, the drought was happening in Texas, and mm-hmm. and that it just looked really, really bleak. And they prayed for rain. I remember watching them pray for rain. It was mm-hmm. so dry. And now God's pouring out rain across Texas, and he's talking about it. He says, the Lord is showering us with his blessings. This is the time to press beyond the narrow place and enter into an enlarged place of promise where we will meet the King, talking about Jesus. And he talks about, here are some of the prophetic words that came forth on that particular Sunday from Sarah Collins, Ann Tate, and a lady named Barbara, and Chuck himself. The first one's called The Pure Know His Strategies. The Pure Know His Strategies. And this was a prophetic word that came to pass. Mm-hmm. If you'll ask for the provision will come down.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Lord, we ask right now for provision for all of our listeners, for provision. Lord, we ask for it. And they go on to say, he says, the word prophetic word goes on to say, these are the days of Elijah.
Mm.
Cry out and don't back down or back up when Jezebel says you can't move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Now listen, just because somebody says stop, don't stop.
Right.
You know, realize that if what God has made clear to you in the light, don't question it in darkness. You have to write down the vision, make it plain so that you can run with it and others can run with it. And once you understand and write it down, realize you're going to enter into dark times. But understand this, that you're going to bring light into that darkness. So you can't question in darkness what God made clear to you in the light.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing that's going to happen is, you know, Satan through a Jezebel principality more than likely is going to speak through somebody who's held captive by Satan, and is going to say to you, what are you doing? Stop. And then they'll threaten you and they'll bring up all this stuff saying that, you know, whatever, you know, and remind you of who you were or whatever it was,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's a threat. And this is what he's saying. He says, these are the days of Elijah. Cry out and don't back up when Jezebel says you can't move forward. Say move forward.
Move forward.
He says, today is a new day of power. There is the time. This is the time. Today is the time of the body of Christ to rise up to their designated place of authority. I give the authority to release heavens, to open the heavens and to shut the heavens. Because of this, I'm calling you to a new place of purity. The pure in heart will see God. They will know his strategy. They will know the strategy of darkness. So they remain steps ahead of their enemy.
Mm-hmm.
But think about it. This is God releasing this authority and this power. So rise up today, the word is, into your place of power to open and shut the heavens. Wow. I've given you authority. I've given you authority.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he says he's given us the keys of the kingdom to be able to bind whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven, whatever we loose on earth is loose in heaven. It's time for us to rise up and take that place of authority.
Right.
It is time. Our season has come. Our mm-hmm. season has come for us to rise up and take that authority and realize that God's going to take the land if we don't back up. Realize he told Jehoshaphat that you will march out against them. David ran out to meet the giant, but God defeated the giant and the stone landed in the giant's head.
Mm-hmm.
But God, he had to first go out and meet him. You know, Israel had to believe God and listen to the Joshua and Caleb report, but then they marched out and then God gave them victory over the land. Listen, we're going to have to rise up to our place of authority. And this, right. He goes on, the next part of this word is a turbulent week, and you can just feel it. I can sense it in my spirit, the turbulence that's taking place. He says, this is the week that he is shaking it. There will be turbulence in the atmosphere. There'll be turbulence in the atmosphere. We've been unwilling to face and to stand and to come up above the turbulence. But this is a week that the Lord is shaking the second heaven. The second heaven is Ephesians 6:12, where there's powers, principalities, where Satan's doing all of his dirty deeds. This is the week that we have worked for, that we've prayed for, that we stood for, that we have asked him for this year, all year, he says. This is the year that we will begin to come up over the sound of Islam.
Wow.
Yeah, we've been talking about Islam and what's happening, and we hear that roar coming out. But listen, this is the year that we will begin to come up over the sound of Islam. We loose the sound of turbulence into Detroit that will cause those bound to hear. We loose the sound of turbulence across the earth as we come up and release what God has, and we pierce the kingdoms of this earth. Stand fast in your week of turbulence, and you will end up standing on top of the turbulence that tried to cause you to lose your footing. Isn't that awesome?
That's good.
Let me say it again. Stand fast in your turbulent week, and you will end up standing on the top of the turbulence that tried to cause you to lose your footing. Now, just embrace him. This is God. Embrace Jesus, and let him embrace you. Love God, love others. That's me adding that on. Some of you will end up this week being repositioned for your future. Embrace the healing from the past season. This is the last week of Av, the narrow, hot week. Lord, we embrace our healing to be repositioned in the future. Isn't this encouraging?
It's very good.
Very.
This is very encouraging. And the next part of that word that came out is called a season of joy and rejoicing. I'm going to turn your mourning into joy. I'm going to take this disappointment and the discouragement that have been there, and this is going to be a season of joy and rejoicing. Know that I have seen you even as you have sown seed when there seemed not even to be seed to sow. Know that I have seen you when your faith reached out to believe for the miraculous, when the natural, it just seemed impossible. Know that the Spirit of God has seen you as you have held firm through every difficult situation. Now, I bring you into a new time. I bring you into a time when I'm going to cause such joy. For did I not say that the weeping shall endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning? Your morning has arrived. This is the morning of the new day. This is the morning of the time of rejoicing. Even where the cankerworm and the locust came to eat away, I'm mightier and stronger than the locust. I am stronger, and I come in this hour to restore all that the cankerworm and the locust have eaten away. I say rejoice, for this morning has arrived. Isn't this awesome?
Wow.
This is an encouraging word, is it not?
Powerful.
I mean, because there was a time of drought and they were experiencing, and God was just speaking through the environment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when God shouts at us through our hardships, you know, he's speaking to us, and it's like, it's time. The time has come. The time has come. And the last part of that word is entitled, the power of robbing will be exposed. The power of robbing will be exposed. I then exhorted the body, he says.
Mm-hmm.
I see something right now. Remember, the locusts came in order of swarming, chewing, and gnawing. All of those locusts came in order like an army. Mm. The Lord says, wait, I'm reforming my army, and I am loosing restorative powers within them. I will reposition them for multiplication. I will reorder them for advancement. I will begin to restore their bodies. I will restore their minds. I will restore their vision, and they'll move forward, and they will move as a mighty army throughout the earth. For what ended up in the negative, I will bring back to the positive, and I can even cause two negatives to make a positive. Mm-hmm. I can cause your negative to begin to step into a realm, a different realm, that I have activated you, and you will multiply again. Glory to God. Isn't this awesome? Mm. Now hear me carefully. Some of you are going to have a dream this week. All of a sudden, some of you are going to know a situation that occurred years ago in your life. God is going to bring it up to you this week, and he will show you how the robbing began.
Wow.
I decree over you, Chuck says, I decree over you this sphere of authority that you have given me, that during this week of power of robbing, the robbing will be exposed in the name of Jesus. That's just powerful. Isn't that encouraging? That's like, oh, wow. My goodness. Oh, my goodness. You know, and the thing about it, it's the best of times and the worst of times. It's the best of times for the church because we rise to our place of authority and power. But obviously, the people who don't want to follow God and want to live in darkness, it's not the best of time for them. You know, it's not going to be the best of time for everybody. It's going to be the best of time for those who are God's and those who desire God.
Right.
But what's going to happen, people are going to want to be with God because they see the blessings of God on God's people.
That's right.
Is that not exciting? Is that an encouraging word?
Very good. That's very good.
Yeah, it's just is it so That's timely, good. You know? And, you know, and as we know about Gideon's army, and God's been preparing, you know, an army dressed for battle, to be able to do spiritual battle,
right,
and to fight for his people and stand for what is right so he can show himself mighty. And it's just exciting. I just want to encourage you this morning with this word, you know, from Chuck Pierce's ministry in Texas. Texas. I forget. Well, I'll think during the break, and I'll let you know. But praise God. God is so good. We'll be right back. You know, when you think about, you know, John 15, where Jesus says, he tells us, you know, right before he's going to go to be with the Father, he says, all these things basically that I've asked of you, you know, it's impossible to do, to bear fruit. But it can be done. It's possible to do on your own, but you can do it through the empowerment of Jesus Christ and abiding with him. And he said, my Father's the gardener, and he is the vine, and we're the branches. I mean, we all have to work together in this. And, you know, abiding is so important, but it's so easy. So many people have made it so religious that they sing it, is, you know, it seems totally impossible, but it's not impossible. That's religion telling you it's impossible. As a matter of fact, I want Jamie to be able to tell you. Jamie is 6 years old, and he abides with the Lord. Just hear it in Jamie's own word. This is what your life should be like when you abide.
My name is Jamie, and I'm from Texas, and I really wish that everyone could figure out the Holy Spirit of God, and if we could follow him, we could probably be good, and God will probably make us gooder. And I think that what will we do if we could figure out if God can give us power, like following him? If we could do that, maybe we can finally figure out the Holy Spirit. And if we have a Bible and we're reading it, you might want to follow it because it gives you more stuff to follow the Lord. And the Bible, it's what God is wanting you to do. And I think if you follow it, then you would be one of the angels from God.
Jamie is 6 years old. He's abiding with God in all we did, right, Pat?
Mm-hmm.
What did you ask Jubian?
All I asked him, what is your name?
What is your name? What you heard was a young man who's 6 years old who is abiding with the Lord. Listen, it's very simple. Religion's made it difficult. I mean, everybody wants to. You need a simple plan. A simple plan that even a six-year-old can follow. Listen, God loves you, wants to spend time with you. It's not impossible what he's asked you to do, but it's impossible to do it on your own. You can do it through an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. You want to find out more? Go to iabide.org. We have a plan waiting for you, a simple plan waiting for you. It's at iabide.org. Request your plan there, and it'll come to you immediately. You know, Ben, I was just talking to my father,
mm-hmm.
and he was, he has, my sisters and I, we got them an iPad,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, move them into the next level of technology.
Right.
And my mother was Skyping now. She can Skype. She can Skype. As a matter of fact, I'm hoping to have mom on, have do a conference call or something, and bring her on live. You would just, you know, everybody, you in the audience, you would just love to hear my mother. We just laugh and talk, and we've always had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, they're listening to VFN TV.
Mm-hmm.
And the VFN radio program, watching VFN TV and listening to the VFN radio program,
mm-hmm.
with their iPad.
Oh, wow.
They have an iPad.
Uh-huh.
And they're able to do it because they went to the iTunes store,
mm-hmm.
and downloaded the application, because we have an application. We have an app for that.
Right.
We have an app for your iPad. We have an app for your iPhone. And we have an app for your Android.
Mm-hmm.
You just go to your app store and type in your search area of your app store, V as in Victor, VFN TV. There you go, is the app. Download it, and for free, you begin to listen not only to the live program, and it happens all day long on the loop as well, but all the archives and highlights. You think about it. If you miss a segment or somebody's talking to you about something, oh, man, I missed that, you can go that. With the app, you could go back and look to the highlights of that day, and possibly the app, that particular highlights right there. In addition, you can get right to our VFN TV and Daily VFN Radio Program Facebook. You can get to our the VFN TV blog right off your application. It has everything that you need available for you. As a matter of fact, those that are you know, sowing into this ministry and giving, that you can even give right there on your application.
Wow.
It is so, so cool. I just want to say hey to Ma and hey, Dad. And all the moms and dads out there, listen, you can get VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program right there on your phone or your iPad or your Android or Apple. Just go to your app store and download it today. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me at the end of the first hour is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. Well, here we are, coming to the end of the first hour. That was such an encouraging word.
Very encouraging.
Yeah, very encouraging word, and I believe it's a now word. I mean, I really believe it's a now word, and it's Denton, Texas, because Denton is the place that God really spoke to me about, you know, some time back. Mm-hmm. He spoke to Teresa about Fremont.
Yes.
And, yeah, I remember that.
And I thought at one time it was both of us, because we both responded to the same thing. In the same way, but it was actually Denton for me, and it was Fremont for her. And of course, there's several places in Denton, but all the places that Chuck could have moved to, and he moved recently to, was Denton, Texas.
Wow.
And you see Denton, and it's just like a dry land, you know, and pretty much everything, you know, if you're not in the metropolis areas, you know, some tumbling weeds blow by in Texas. It's a huge state.
Mm. But everybody's going to Texas, huh?
Yeah, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. And his street address, though, is in Corinth, Texas.
Corinth?
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Yes.
Corinth, Texas. But Denton, Texas You know, I remember at that time looking at Denton, Texas, and seeing, you know, what God was saying. And eventually I get word that, you know, Chuck and Zion Ministries, Glory of Zion Ministries, was going to be moving there to Denton, Texas. So be encouraged. Realize this is when God does his best work. If you haven't yet subscribed for free to VFN TV, you need to do it. You're going to understand what's going on. You're going to actually know what to do. You know, God informs us. But also, you know, you are going to hear things like, you know, it's not over till it's over. Understanding how God works.
That's right.
You know, don't throw your hands up when it's time to actually just throw your faith out. You know, it's time to out in front of you and say, let's march. Let's go ahead, not get rid of it. And understanding that is like, my goodness, it's time for God to part the sea. You know, it's time for the pillar of fire to come down. You know, it's time for God to confuse the enemy. Right. You know, it's time for God to provide manna from heaven. You know, it's time for to lift Jesus up and healing come to the body of Christ. It's time, even to a point where it seems like people aren't even listening, that our God can reboot a people. Like, he can reboot a computer. He can shut us down because he's good and he's merciful and he's graceful. And said, even so, even with all this junk that you've done, because I'm God, I'm just going to reboot you. You know, when you think, and there's been times that God just reboots people, and you got to pay attention because they didn't do squat, you know, and you maybe still relate to them when they needed a boot, when all of a sudden God's rebooted them, and because he's good, he just reset them. And that's how God, I mean, God's just good because his plan's going to succeed. You know, his plan is going to succeed. You know, I want to be able to share a little bit about that. You know, we go into the extra hour today. But also I'm going to share in the extra hour is the word of wisdom today. So important. We got to get God's perspective of the poor.
Yes.
We can't just make something up. We can't look in the most recent dictionary about what they call poor. But we need to understand, you know, what God says about the poor. And just to give you a little subtle hint, you know, whoever lends to the poor lends to God.
Yes.
Think about that, which means whoever doesn't lend to the poor doesn't lend to God. And this is very important. I think one of the key ingredients for our strategy for success is going to be getting God's perspective of the poor and realize that God makes the rich man and he makes the poor man. They're both his. And we're going to be talking about that in the word of wisdom. And just if you want to be aggressive in your battle for victory, is getting aggressive on how God responds to the poor and be a part of. We're coming to the end of the first hour. Also, I don't know, John, we talked about it. Are you going to be speaking on in the extra hour?
Yes, we are going to be sharing this right on time with what you're saying about the poor. So,
Oh, beautiful. With
Mother Teresa.
Mother Teresa. She understood the poor. She says she saw the face of Jesus in the suffering. She could see the face of Jesus. Also, hopefully we're going to get a chance to talk about the Murfreesboro Mosque that just got finished, and they moved into it right there when I was in Franklin, Tennessee, which is right next to Murfreesboro, and I couldn't believe it. I'm like, oh, my goodness, you know, what's happening here? And how could such a small congregation build a 50,000-square-foot mosque? And we're going to tell you what the strategy is, and it's like immigration through migration. And we'll talk more about that in the extra hour, understanding how things work. Well, God bless you. For those that are leaving us on the first hour, we say, pray God, how you be a blessed day. Don't forget, you can catch the highlights and the extra hour today on your VFNTV app or at VFNTV.com. Also, don't forget to like us on Facebook. Go to VFNTV.com, click on our Facebook. Also, on our Twitter, you can see our Twitter account. Like us on that. It's really cool. So hello to all of our Twitter friends out there. God bless you. And for those that are joining us in the extra hour, we'll see you on the other side.